97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, welcome back. We continue to have some technical surprises here this morning, and I'm just trying to warn our friends on social media. If you're just joining us, thank you for that. We've been talking about this since the show went on the air at 5 a.m. just to kind of tell people, because some changes took place today from a technical standpoint, and we still don't have all the bugs ironed out of the system. But the bottom line is, the music you hear coming into these breaks and out of the breaks on the radio and on the Odyssey app, you should not be hearing that music if you're watching us on social media. We've had to remove that music from social media for licensing reasons, and it's been a bit of a complicated task to make that happen, which includes in and out of each break, Kim sitting down here doing a multitude of things, having to hit a button to either stop or start the separate music we're playing on those social media channels. And I only tell you this not because you need the background of it, but because it is complicated and we're trying to get it ironed out. And we've had people join us throughout the show on the social media platforms who are confused, because suddenly there's no music, or the music they're hearing is weird, or they think they hear something playing under Kim or me. Anyway, it's a work in progress. Hopefully we get this figured out at some point, and just know that we are working on it.
Yeah, because I'm trying to make sure it's not playing underneath news. I'm trying to monitor it, but yeah, I think it's more complicated than we thought.
Yep.
So just please bear with us as we sort out the kinks.
If we can figure it out, we will. We had a great discussion last hour. Lots of comments on the text line 314-241-9797. You can always send us your thoughts on there. Lots of thoughts on there and on social media over the whole initiative petition process. I kind of went sideways on that here, but I was trying to explain to people what this lawsuit is all about. At least at the Cole County level, could be decided today. And then regardless of which way it's decided, it's going to advance to the Missouri Supreme Court, because they have a September 8th deadline by which something would have to be decided on whether or not this initiative petition process gets on the ballot for November. And the couple of court decisions we're waiting on today. So if you missed that, hit rewind on the Odyssey app, or you can just download the podcast, which we try to make as easy as possible. And Kim does a really good job of putting descriptors in there of what the conversations were that we were talking about.
Thanks. I try to make it
thank
easy.
Thank you. We try to make it easy, except when the music doesn't work. So we're still trying to figure that out. I don't know. Hopefully I can have a conversation after the show today and figure out what we can do differently moving forward so that we have a little more consistency with that. But regardless, coming up, very excited. I don't think I've ever managed to get this guest on this program before over the years. Martha McCallum is going to join us. Maybe I did have her on once a long time ago. I can't remember. I know I had Bill Hemmer on a few times over the years. She used to co-anchor with Bill on that show that comes on at 9 on Fox in the mornings. And now it's Dana Perino who's on there, and Martha has an afternoon show. But we managed to get her on here this morning. We tried to get her to fill in for Shannon Bream when she was on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and it just never worked out, but she agreed to do it at a future date, and now we have her on this morning at about 8:35. So among the things I want to talk to her about is the DSA victory in Florida last night. I was just listening to one of the candidates, this Nixon is her last name. She won in Florida. She upset this Alexander Vindman. Remember that guy's name? He is the sole reason that Donald Trump was impeached over that Ukraine conversation he had. Completely legitimate conversation with the president of Ukraine. And this guy leaked the audio of it and made a big deal claiming Trump was trying to get dirt on his political opponent, which is not true, because there was dirt on his political opponent, Joe Biden, and his son's dealings with Burisma in the Ukraine. All of that was legitimate. And the Democrats, which they'll do again if they take back the House, managed to stage a fake impeachment over the whole thing. And Alexander Vindman was in the middle of it. He hates Donald Trump. So he went to Florida, and the Democrats gave him $16 million to win the primary, and he blew it. And this DSA candidate beat him soundly. And all she spent was about $1 million. So we'll talk to Martha McCallum about that shocking development down there in Florida coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Up next, we're going to talk to a man who has been studying, because of personal experience, whether or not cell phone signals and or Wi-Fi signals and or, I would assume, 5 and 6G and all that stuff we're dealing with these days has any impact on health. As Kim mentioned earlier, he had a personal family situation with one of his children, I believe, which got him to looking into this. And he is an author, and he's written books on health, and he's an inventor as well. We're going to talk to him coming up here in the next segment. Right now, though, Ethan is going to help us get to our top stories and the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
If our Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States, and if so, why or how?
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not on national security. I'm not that informed on national security, so.
Ooh, not a good moment last night for Darlene Graham, Lindsey Graham's sister, who's trying to run to replace him for a 6-year term in the Senate. She was asked a pretty simple national security question on Taiwan and China. No clue. Had no clue, wasn't prepared for it, and boy, did not go over very well with the audience there.
Not a day goes by that we are hearing from our farmers and our agricultural workers that because of these illegal tariffs, because of this absurd immigration policy and this improper usage of this lawless ICE agency, that we are now seeing how their costs are going up.
Wes Moore is a governor of Maryland, I think, right? He's claims he's not running for president, but he's sure making an awful lot of news show appearances and talk show appearances right now to blast Donald Trump.
It's certainly an indication of the success of Donald Trump's Orwellian project to erase history, to distort reality.
Is that really a thing? Is it Orwellian? He's distorting reality. The people on the left don't know what to do with Donald Trump, and therefore they say crazy statements like that about him. That was Charlie Sykes, in fact, if you didn't recognize the voice. Again, here my computer's not working. Hang on, here we go.
I don't think we want our health care in the hands of politicians deciding what tests we can get, what doctors we can see.
Oh, come on, Ronna McDaniel. What are you talking about? If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Kim, remember that? That Barry Obama statement all those years ago?
If you
like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Don't worry. Those were all lies. And nationalized health care would be a complete disaster in this country. We can't afford Medicare and Medicaid as it is with the limited number of people who are on those programs. You have to be 65 to get on Medicare, right? Medicaid is for the poorest of the poor. How exactly do they think? I just love to have this conversation with a member of the DSA, because I watched them try to have this conversation on CBS News a few minutes ago with this Nixon lady who won in Florida. And they're like, "Well, you say you want nationalized health care. Yes, health care is a right. How would you pay for it?" And she immediately pivots to something else. Can you imagine the cost of nationalized health care? Remember, we don't have a health care problem in this country. We have a health insurance problem in this country, because when I go to the hospital and I look at the bill and I see the bill is, oh, I don't know, if you're in there 4 days, $30,000. And then I realize that they're, since it's covered by insurance, they're overcharging because they know they'll get a high, they can make a lot more money off that. I mean, we have a health insurance problem. And these people think we can eliminate, they want to eliminate your personal health insurance, your ability to buy it, and force everybody in to government-run healthcare. It's a disaster in Canada. It's a disaster in England. Anybody that's lived in it understands that. These are the people that want to get elected to Congress, and once they do, they'll start chipping away at this again. Remember, the Clintons started trying to do this in the early 90s. They're coming at it again, just so you know. All right, coming up, we'll get to Norbert Hauser, who has written this book on the potential dangers of cell phones and Wi-Fi. We'll be right back. It's funny how many other people had the same experience I did, Kim, with that first cell phone that I had. I told you it was a bag phone, had a little antenna that popped up. It's probably like 3 watts, throwing out all kinds of stuff in every direction. It was powerful. It worked, right? I forget how much it cost a minute to use that thing. It was ridiculous back then if you wanted to use it. But I always wondered if having that thing near me was radiating me or anything. And I know they've studied this over the years, and a lot of people have reached their own conclusions because of personal issues they've ended up having. I've got a Norbert Hauser on the line with us this morning. He's an inventor, he's an author, he's a life and health coach, and he's been asking questions about whether or not these Wi-Fi and cell phone signals are affecting our lives. Mr. Hauser, welcome in. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you. What started your search to find out whether or not these signals were impacting us?
Well, I'm in alternative medicine for 45 years. I'm German. I started in Germany. I still have my headquarters in Germany. I live in the United States now. But 20 years ago, I became very sick, and it was because of mobile phone. We found out of mobile phone, as well my eldest firstborn grandson. We were both sick at the same time. So I looked around, and there was nothing available to protect you. It was ridiculous. And then finally I said, I have to protect myself. So I started to invent a technology based on quantum physics. And it took me 2 years with my team in Germany to develop it. And then we brought it out and it worked 100%. So then I was happy because now I had something to protect myself. But I never wanted a company to manufacture it. But it ended up because I had an obligation. Knowledge makes no sense if you don't share it. So I shared my knowledge and my experience, and I started to produce a product which protects every cell phone in this world.
What is
it? No matter
which. What's the product?
It's a small product. It looks, imagine a credit card, but smaller and much, 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 much thinner. And you just place it between the protective case under your phone and the phone. You just stash it in between. And then it's guaranteed for 5 years. It protects you 100%, and it doesn't matter what these bad frequencies normally do to you, they're nullified. Of course, it's a big statement, and I have tested by the BISA Institute in Austria, has scientifically tested my product to assure people it does work. And the tests are on my website, 110 pages, which exactly explain what we do, how we do it, and how it protects you.
Norbert Hauser is our guest, and he's the inventor of the product he's talking about here. Let me ask, how did you determine, without a doubt, that it was a cell phone that caused problems for you and your grandson?
Okay, first of all, I'm practicing for 45 years kinesiology, which is called muscle testing. In muscle testing, you can find this out in a minute. A lot of people are aware of it, a lot of people are not aware of it. But then I had the BISA Institute tested the cell phones. They tested the cell phone using the cell phone without any protection, and they tested 15 organs and functions in your body and showed the graphics how these organs and functions are sabotaged. Then they put my product on the cell phone, same person, same cell phone, 5 minutes later, all these negative influences were nullified, and the organs and functions which were sabotaged were working fine without any problem.
I know what muscle testing is. I'm very familiar with that. I've had that done. How concerned are you about 6G that's expected to roll out here in 2030?
Well, the date is not clear yet. I believe it comes earlier than 2030, but they won't tell us before the last minute, before it's already done. I'm more than concerned. 6G changes the world as we know it. But already 4G and 5G are bad enough. And 5G, we think it's new. 5G is not new. 5G has been used by the armies in America, Canada, and England as a weapon of war. And on my website, I recommend books. One is called The Hidden Dangers of 5G. And it's written by Captain Jerry G. Flynn from the Canadian Army, whistleblower, who explains that 5G was used since the 60s by the armies as a weapon.
Well, Mr. Hoyser, I'm going to run short on time here. Do you have a website if people are interested in finding out more about your research sure. and your invention sure. here?
Sure. And on this website are many podcasts, many interviews, many whistleblowers who speak out. And the website is EMR, for electromagnetic radiation, emrprotection.co.
Okay.
emrprotection.co. But you don't need to believe me only. There are plenty of people. And I compared with the cigarette industries in the 50s. They knew what they were doing, but this is big business. Don't forget, we have in America about 330 million people, and we have about 400 million mobile phones in use.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly going to pique a lot of people's interest, for sure. Mr. Hoyser, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me, and a great day to you.
Yeah, thank Bye-bye. You. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break here. Yeah, emrprotection.co is that website. Check it out for yourself. We'll be back in just a minute.
Look, I agree with you. Terrible candidate. He's been kind of a grift all the way through. And the fact that these lib donors gave him $16 million.
They might have given him more, actually.
To watch him, piss it away on this grift. I don't know where it went either. I assume the consultants all have fine beach houses all up and down the coast now.
All the consultants.
But it's a grift. He's been a grift for years. And he paid.
Yeah, that is Scott Jennings last night on this shocking victory of a DSA candidate in Florida that beat this Alex Vindman, the one that led to ultimately the impeachment of Donald Trump during his first term. Just amazing. One of the things we'd like to discuss with Martha McCallum. Thrilled to get her on here from Fox News and the story with Martha McCallum there every day. Martha, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
It's great to be with you. You know, when I read this morning that this Angie Nixon in Florida spent about $700,000 and Vindman collected nearly $16 million and still lost, that has got to be sending shockwaves through the DNC.
Absolutely. I mean, Alex Vindman pretended like he wasn't even running against Angie Nixon. They had no debates. He basically ignored her throughout the course of the campaign. And it's really, as you point out, Mark, it's just a lesson in money and the difference that it sometimes doesn't make. She spent south of $1 million, as you say. He was at over $16 million. Everyone remembers Alex Vindman testifying against President Trump. And he was, at that time, sort of righteous and arrogant in his demeanor. And he's sort of accused of kind of doing the same thing in the Florida race, thinking that he was going to walk away with it. And he's probably pretty shocked this morning. But she has a lot of deep roots in the community. She was a union organizer. She's a state rep. She's very, very anti-DeSantis. She has done a sit-in in the governor's building. So she's a well-known person in the area. And of course, social media is free and is working really well for some of these candidates.
Yeah, well, she reflects all the views of everybody in the DSA. She wants to end jails and free health care mm-hmm. for everyone. You know, I wonder, and maybe this is one of the questions you'll be asking today on the story, is what happens next? Like, is there any polling out on what that race looks like now? I mean, there's no way in red Florida she has a chance, right?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? She is the first DSA nominee of a major party. So it is a big win for her. She's going to be running against Ashley Moody, who's the current United States Senator who took Marco Rubio's spot. She was the former Attorney General under Governor DeSantis. So she is very credible. She has a very wide following. She is, very solid in the hearings that she has been part of in the United States Senate. I think it's going to be a tough race for sure for Angie Nixon.
Gosh, it makes you question these polls, though, in general, after that polling firm came out and said that, yeah, we were really just doing this social experiment to see if we could have any sort of an impact on the election. So, gosh, you wonder when it's showing some of these candidates in the lead, are they really in the lead?
You know, I just think that polling at this level, we're all paying a lot of attention to these primary races around the country, of course, as we head towards the midterms. But primary polling is, typically not great. It's very small sampling, very narrow scale. There's not a lot of money that's put into polling in these primary races. And I think we've learned in Michigan and Wisconsin that the polling, you know, was off by double digits in both places. So I think we got to just pay attention to what's going on the ground and not worry too much about the polling in these primaries, which still have a couple of races to be settled.
Yeah. Yeah, I've watched Martha, I'm sorry, as they've questioned the president on gas prices. And I listened to what some people thought was a pretty flippant comment from him the other day, is that, you know, you can deal with $4 gas for a little while if we can end the threat in Iran. And I've questioned here whether or not that's the message they should be sending, because the Democrats, for better or worse, have had a lot of success with this whole question of, you know, affordability. And I think they're going to hammer that between now and the elections. Do you see a change in approach by the administration at all on that?
Well, you know, I think you're right. And I think that the argument about this generational fight against Iran it sometimes gets lost in the shuffle when we talk about affordability and gas prices, which of course are very important. And we see that the president's, you know, back to polling I think generally national polling is a little bit more substantial than what we see in these primaries, but you know, the president is underwater on the economy. And, so you can feel that kind of push and pull in his messaging on all of this. He's very aware of the concerns about that, but he also will say, you know what, this isn't about the midterms. This is about legacy and about history for the country. And we see Iran having this very, I think, surprising to the White House and to everyone, resilience. And it's hard for us to get inside the mentality of a revolutionary leadership.
Right.
And you know, they don't really care if the people are suffering. They want survival at any cost. And I think they're going to just continue to up the ante. The Institute for the Study of War, General Keane's operation, said, you know, Tehran wants to raise the cost of all this for the United States. So, I mean, this is why being president is the hardest job in the world, because these are big decisions that he has to make right now. We've seen it go back and forth a bit. But I do agree with you that articulating the larger issue of freedom and the potential for the Iranian people. I think, you know, I have a number of guests on who are Iranians who live in the United States, whose families fled in 1979. And they were told, and so were the freedom fighters, to the extent that they could manage it in the midst of a massacre, that their hour of freedom was at hand, and that, you know, the United States was going to support them. So we're going to see that there's way more chapters to be written in this story. And I hope in the end the Iranian people prevail and the United States will be safer if that's the case.
It's amazing. Martha, I asked my friend Griff Jenkins this the other day. I'm like, do you ever just pinch yourself? I mean, we're in strange times these days. And every day there's some new breaking news of some sort across the world. And you're right there on the front page reporting on this history as it's happening. I mean, I love your work, but do you ever just sit back in awe of the times we're in?
Almost every day, Mark. Almost every day. And also the fact that I get to cover it, because it's an extraordinary moment. And I often, you know, will sort of step back and say to people, look, after the Trump era is over, it will be written about and talked about for decades. As we love to study the presidencies of our country, it is consequential, as the president likes to say, bold action that people have not taken in the past. I mean, the things that he's done in Iran, the two attacks in January, in June, and then February, people, you know, sort of war gamed these for years and years and years and didn't do it. So what's the outcome going to be? Nobody knows at this point. But the action is fascinating to cover. There's no doubt about it.
Martha McCallum, our pleasure having you on. We'll be watching the story. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be with you.
Yep. Take care. Good to get her on here. Yeah, it's changed the paradigm. I've said it more than once. And you know, to a lesser extent for me and for Kim, to be able to cover these events as they happen as well, because whoever comes next, J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, heaven forbid, Josh Shapiro or one of these Democrats, it's never going to be the same.
It's hard to imagine many presidents would have the guts to do what Trump is doing. He Correct. Doesn't care. And the fact that he is on his second term, I think, helps because he's just going to lay it all out there knowing, hey, I don't have to worry about being reelected. I mean, this is kind of let's just put everything out there and anything I've been thinking about doing, like bombing Iran, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go again. All right. Quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Underwhelmed. He just didn't, he wasn't as charismatic. He just didn't really seem as confident maybe we all expected. Whenever you see him, you know, doing those press conferences for Florida, he carries such confidence with him. And he just seemed to lack that when he was running for
president. It'll be interesting to see if, because I'm trying to think if there's a senatorial campaign in Florida coming up that he might have some interest in. That'll be interesting to see if he throws his name in there, or if he's got the support of the Trump administration, because of course Trump didn't get along with him very well when he was running against him, but I think the two of them get along now. Mm-hmm. Would Trump put him in some sort of a position within the administration for the final 2 years of his term, potentially to help him buff up his resume, or will he be afraid to do that because he thinks he's going to run for president against J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio?
What if there was some sort of an agreement? Hey, I'll put you in my cabinet if you don't run against them.
I don't think
them.
He would agree to that. I can't see that in any way, shape, or form. All right, stick around. I'm sure Kilmeade will have the very latest on a lot of those national primary races and the big DSA upset in Florida. Keep it tuned to 97.1 all day long. The Annie Fry Show, the Mark Reardon Show coming up this afternoon. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.